The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janet is away today, so in her place, we have a guest who you've heard before, Dr. Michael Arendt, who's a chiropractor. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin. How you doing?
All right. And I want to start off just talking briefly about something you may have heard about on the news, and that was the mislabeled birth control package. And the way that came, the reason it came on the news, there were 100 women who were using this product that became pregnant, and they're suing the drug company because it wasn't that they, well, in a way they were mislabeled. If you know how birth control packages are done, they're in a blister pack, and they tell you, you know, this week you take this pill, this week you take this one. And so at the end of the 4 weeks, they have a week of dummy pills, meaning there are no hormones in there. So they put the dummy pills at the beginning instead of at the end, and therefore, the birth control pills really didn't work. So they were suing the drug company for unwanted pregnancies and also to take care of their children. But the bigger issue here, the way I look at it, is quality control. You know, when you buy clothing, sometimes you'll say inspected by, you know, they're checking everything. Now, this is a very easy thing to check. This just tells me there is no checking going on. Nobody is supervising it. And this has nothing to do with what's in the pill. This has to do with how the pill is put in the packaging and tells you which pills you take which week. Let's not even talk about it, the quality control as far as the manufacture of the pills. You know, I think this should be a real eye-opener for people who blindly trust what's in those prescription bottles that they get. So I think that's just my take on it, because they're the first, mainstream medicine is the first to criticize supplement manufacturers when things are mislabeled. And that gets a lot more headlines and more time in the media. You know, this was a sentence or two, and it was gone. Dr. Mike, what do you think?
I think you're right, Dr. Slavin. I really believe that the drug companies and the manufacturers who do so much advertising on television, if you see every other ad on television is a pharmaceutical ad. So the media is just not going to pick up the faults in their system as easily as they will on supplementation. There's nobody buttering their bread, so to speak, on that side of the fence. So they're going to protect the pharmaceutical industry, and they're going to lambast the competition, which is a common technique.
All right. So and then we have another report about another prescription product, prescription drug, in the antibiotic family. And you probably never heard of antibiotics in the macrolide family. You know, that's the category of antibiotics. But you have heard of the name brands that come in this category, erythromycin, azithromycin, otherwise known as Zithromax, clarithromycin, otherwise known as Biaxin, and quinolone. So these are macrolide antibiotics. And this one article was published actually by the National Institute of Health. This is where this one came out. It was not picked up by the mainstream media. I didn't hear anybody talk about it. And that what the reason it's in the news, though, is that this is a widely used class of antibiotics and is associated with a measurable increased risk of sudden cardiac death.
Wow.
So who would think you take an antibiotic and you're increasing your risk of dying of a heart attack? But that's what it is. Now, here's what they did. They looked at 33 studies that were conducted between 1966 and 2015. So this is what they would call a meta-analysis, where they look at a bunch of studies and they try to draw additional conclusions about the product. So in these studies, that would have included over 20 million patients.
Wow.
And the studies compared patients who took macrolides, other types of antibiotics, or no antibiotics. So it's a pretty big study. And the results showed that a small but statistically significant association was seen between taking these types of antibiotics and the increased risk of sudden cardiac death. But they couldn't necessarily prove a cause and effect relationship between these medications and sudden cardiac death. Well, here's the interesting thing, and that's always the dilemma faced by people trying to interpret these studies. All right, what if you had the group of people who took these antibiotics, and that by itself may not have been the cause, but you take these antibiotics, and this is an example, this wasn't in a study, and drinking coffee, and maybe the combination of the two. You know, you see, you just don't know when you put things together. But so the concern here, of course, like we've commented over and over again, that you really shouldn't take antibiotics unless it's absolutely, absolutely necessary.
Absolutely.
And you probably should think twice about using antibiotics in this category, since there seems to be a small risk. And this, by the way, was published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. So that's a mainstream journal. Maybe they put it in the wrong place, because maybe they should put it in the Family Practice Journal or Journal of Primary Care Medicine, because they're the ones prescribing probably the majority of antibiotics. So it was just interesting. On average, about 80 cases of rapid heartbeat might have been detected. That could have been associated with the sudden cardiac death. It's just something to think about. Every time you take an antibiotic, you should really think about it and see what, and ask yourself the question, is it really necessary? If I don't take this antibiotic, am I going to die? Because if you do take the antibiotic, you might die. So you got to put things in proper perspective.
I think before you take any medication, you should really check into what the iatrogenics are. And before I say anything else, let me also say that medications are absolutely necessary in an emergency arena. I would not want to live in an area where there are no emergency rooms or there are no medical physicians with pharmaceutical advantages. But before you take anything, you really need to check what the iatrogenics are, what the side effects of that medication are. And we live in an information age. You can Google it very simply and find out very clearly what the possible side effects of that medication are.
One of the reasons I practice the type of medicine I do, which is a functional approach to medicine, is first of all trying to keep people healthy so they don't need to resort to taking antibiotics, number one, but also having read all the side effects associated with antibiotic use, not just, you know, this side effect, but the other side. We're going to talk about some other side effects in addition, but all the side effects associated with any drug that you might take. Read the side effects, and you really, if you do read them, you'll have to ask yourself, is it worth taking this drug?
Is it worth the risk?
Yeah, I mean, lots of side effects. Is there a better way, a safer way to address the problem than taking a drug? And in most cases, the answer to that is yes.
Yes, that is. But most medical physicians are not going to tell you what the alternatives are.
Well, they don't know the alternatives.
They're never taught that. They're never taught.
And, well, what they're taught, I don't know if you've heard me use the term prescriptionist.
No, I haven't.
But that's what the most doctors are. Prescriptionist, meaning they write prescriptions. That's what they're taught to do. In fact, I'll put this name out there again, Abraham Flexner. He was employed by Carnegie and Rockefeller in the early 1900s. And the reason for that is they had just bought pharmaceutical companies and had to figure out a way to sell their product. Up until that time, drugs weren't the mainstay of healthcare. At that time, doctors really were looking to help people get well naturally.
Absolutely.
I might say, you know, move to a better climate, open the windows, breathe in fresh air, you know, all the things that are necessary. They went around and they convinced as many medical schools as they could at that time to change their teaching curriculum to focus on symptoms and then focus on the solution to treating those symptoms, namely drugs. And that's how there was a shift to now treating symptoms with drugs instead of addressing the underlying cause of the problem so it would go away. So what have we seen by that? We have developed the most expensive healthcare system in the world. In this country, we spend more money on drugs than the rest of the world combined.
Right.
And yet, in terms of longevity, we rank about 40th in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not living longer. We're just taking lots of drugs. Now, we were just talking about antibiotics and how the macrolide antibiotics are associated with, in a very small percentage of cases, a sudden cardiac death. You know, so think twice about using it. But I'll give you another reason to think twice about using antibiotics. And we're coming up on a break, so we'll give you the headline, and we'll talk a little bit more about this afterwards. A single course of antibiotics is strong enough to disrupt the normal makeup of the microorganisms in your gut, namely the microbiome we talk about, for up to a year, potentially leading to antibiotic resistance, but it leads to a lot more than that. We'll discuss this a little bit more, but right now we have to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Joining me today is Dr. Michael Herent, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
And we're back. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Joining me today is Dr. Michael Herent. Janet Cimarelli is traveling today, but she'll be back on Monday with us. And before the break, I brought up the topic of a new report that came out that one course of antibiotics can disrupt your gut flora for up to a year. Now, here's the thing. We just spoke about another article saying the macrolide antibiotics are associated with a small but significant increase in sudden cardiac death. And here we're talking about antibiotics disrupting your gut flora. Now, why is that important? Well, in this case, they're just talking about developing drug resistance. And they're just finding that, and we all know this, that they're being overutilized. There are a lot of resistance, antibiotic resistance developing. Now, here's an interesting number, which you may not have been aware of, because it changes the significance of something when you put a number associated with it. In the U.S., antibiotic-resistant bacteria cause at least 2 million cases of disease.
Wow.
So that's antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And 23,000 people die because they don't have an antibiotic that's effective against these bacteria. So as a result, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, that's the CDC, they've outlined the top 18 drug-resistant threats to the U.S. and categorized them based on a level of concern, urgent, serious, or concerning. Health professionals have been encouraged to limit the use of antibiotics. Now, what are some examples? You know, you go to a doctor, I mean, almost the doctors feel if they don't prescribe an antibiotic for somebody, they haven't done their job. And maybe their job is to discourage the use of antibiotics, because most of the time you'll get better. And you just hate to think of all the problems created by taking antibiotics. There was another article, I think we talked about it earlier in the week, how, this was interesting. If you were to look at a map of the United States and you would, on a state-by-state basis, see which states have the heaviest people, where are the most obese people found, in which states?
I thought they'd be in the South.
Well, they are, but they're around the country. But the interesting thing is, if you were to superimpose another map, which states use the most antibiotics? They correspond.
Really?
So it seems that antibiotics cause weight gain, but why is that? This is an important point, because it disrupts the microflora or the microbiome, and they're now discovering that there are certain bacteria in your gut that helps control weight. So if you knock them out with antibiotics, it causes weight gain.
Very interesting correlation.
So it's very... That's another reason to think twice about taking an antibiotic, and then of course using probiotics to reestablish your gut bacteria. But here's what happens, or the risks you take when you use an antibiotic. One is C. diff, that's short for Clostridium difficile. That's a overgrowth of bacteria that causes life-threatening diarrhea. This is not uncommon. This is a common side effect of taking antibiotics that require hospitalization, require the use of other antibiotics, require the use of intravenous fluids because of the diarrhea. It's a very serious condition brought on just by using your routine antibiotics. It doesn't have to be a lot. Just routine use can cause this.
And I'm sure your listeners know that it is the beneficial flora in the gut that helps you break down foods and build your resistance. So when you take those good soldiers away, it allows bad soldiers to overgrow. That's where candida comes in. That's where leaky gut syndrome comes in, where digestive problems comes in. And perhaps, Dr. Slavin, your listeners would be interested to know what natural probiotics they can take to replenish those good soldiers if they've had to go through an antibiotic course.
Well, again, there are a lot of... good products out there, as well as bad products out there. We talk about this all the time, and I have to recommend choosing, you know, national brands, well-known brands. They have a lot at stake. They won't take a chance, in my opinion, of putting a bad product. The last thing they want is bad publicity. So, you know, use the name brands. I think you're more likely to get a good brand when you go to a health food store as compared to the discount markets.
Absolutely.
You know, pharmacies, they're selling.
Yeah, with all due respect, I don't buy my vitamins at CVS or Walgreens or Walmart. I go to health food stores, or I go to companies that specifically manufacture quality-controlled supplementation.
Now, here's another side effect of antibiotics, something called CRE. I've never heard of that term specifically, but it stands for carbapenem-resistant Enterobacteriaceae. So that's a type of bacteria that's antibiotic-resistant. It mostly occurs in medical facilities because that's where all the antibiotic, most of the antibiotic resistance starts because of all the antibiotic use in hospitals. But here's the thing. When this bacteria enters the bloodstream, and that would be called sepsis, there's a 50% mortality associated with it.
Wow.
That's how difficult it is to treat it. 50% of the people die from it. So that's another side effect of overuse of antibiotics. Now, here's something that some of us, people have heard of, let's say, Neisseria gonorrhea. Now, we've heard of that sexually transmitted disease. It affects 820,000 people a year, and it's becoming resistant to the usual antibiotics. So it's just another reason to think twice about using antibiotics. So what is the recommendation? The recommendation is simple. Antibiotics should only be used when really, really necessary, because even a single antibiotic treatment in an otherwise healthy person, let's say, you catch a cold, you go to a doctor, give me an antibiotic because you've convinced yourself that's going to make you get better faster. It contributes to the risk of resistance to different types of bacteria in your body, and it creates all kinds of problems. So, again, always think twice. You know, perfect example of overuse of antibiotics, and this is really should be a big concern, is childhood earaches. You know, a real common problem. Most of the time, it's not a bacterial problem, yet they prescribe antibiotics all the time. And remember, we just said it disrupts your microbiome, your gut flora, for over a year. Look what you're doing to these kids, giving them course after course of antibiotics. And what are the long-term effects of that? You know, we attribute so many problems that we face to vaccinations, but maybe we ought to think about antibiotic use, because I think they're used probably more than even vaccinations.
And when you talk about children, excuse me, I treated so many children with ear infections, and I never used an antibiotic. People just don't know that there's another way to skin that cat, so to speak. There's a natural way to deal with ear infections that don't have anything to do with antibiotic use.
Well, I think a lot of our listeners, including myself, chiropractic wouldn't come to mind when someone has an ear infection. So why don't you tell our listeners how you approach it?
Sure. Well, it wasn't within a chiropractic sphere, but it was in a biochemical nutritional sphere and also physical therapy. I have I had a unit in my office that's called shortwave diathermy, which is a combination between a radio wave and a microwave. When a child would come in to me with an ear infection, and I dealt with thousands of them over the years, the first thing I would do is make sure the cervical spine is adjusted clearly, because I want the body as powerfully to respond to the immune system as it can. But then I would actually open up. I just did this on an infant just the other day, a six-month-old that I adjusted. You release the pec minor tendon on the right side, which kind of traps the thoracic duct. That's a tube coming from the head that drains the fluid from the head and neck. Now, why does a child have fluid backing up in the ears? Because the eustachian tubes have not fully matured. When the child is born, the eustachian tubes are either horizontal or tilted slightly upwards. But as the child grows and gets taller, the eustachian tubes start to become angled downwards, and that will help drain some of the fluid from the inside of the ear and from the neck. What we do is to release the pec minor tendon, which allows the tube to flow freely, and then milk the thoracic duct on the right side of the neck to allow the fluid to move. Then I will put drops of an oil that has a suspension of garlic in it and a couple of other herbs, put a few drops in the ear, and give the child a shortwave diathermy treatment for about 10 to 15 minutes at a very low frequency. And lo and behold, usually within a treatment or two, the ear infections were gone. Now, I've treated not only thousands of patients this way, I've also treated my own five children this way. My kids have had ear infections just like everybody else has. And we've never used an antibiotic to resolve it.
Just a going off topic a little bit, I'm just curious with your own kids.
Sure.
Did you vaccinate them?
No, I did not. And we got them in school, too. There's a way to do that, too. So don't worry about that.
So, you know, these days, you know, we read about more the heavy hand of government trying to mandate or force the use of vaccinations, particularly in California, where not only are they forcing kids to have vaccines, even when the parents are against it, but workers in daycare facilities, et cetera, are being forced to have vaccines just to work there.
Right.
And it's funny, one of my daughters is pregnant right now, and her OBGYN had said that any adults coming in contact with her or the newborn should at least have a pertussis vaccine. I guess this is what the vaccine of the month or something. You know, make sure you have a, you know, don't get pertussis. How did your kids are still healthy, right?
Absolutely. I've got five healthy, vibrant children. My oldest is 35. My youngest is 24. And none of them got vaccinations when they were children. My oldest son, who's now in the Air Force and has traveled globally to do his job within the Air Force, he did have to get vaccinated through the service. And he got pretty sick when he was given those vaccinations, even at the age of, in his late 20s, when those vaccinations hit him, he was quite under the weather for quite a while.
Well, we really don't know all the long-term side effects. You know, vaccines are very rarely studied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so not only, so if they study it,
they have mercury levels in them that shouldn't be.
Yeah, mercury, formaldehyde, aluminum. They put a lot of things in there that aren't, let's use the word antigenic. In other words, besides the virus that you're trying to develop immunity to.
You're being kind.
They study it for a couple of weeks. Oh, you got tendinitis at the site. You may have a low-grade cold symptoms, but what about long-term? What happens? What happens when you take vaccinations with antibiotics? Yeah, how does that affect your immune system? All these things that have to be thought about, but are never thought about, never tested. And now we deal with all the ramifications of, if you look around all the different problems people face, and everybody shrugs their shoulder, who knows why? We'll just give out more medication. And that music means it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, joined by Dr. Michael Arendt, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care. Reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world, that allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991.
We're back. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Joining me today is Dr. Michael Arendt. Janet Cimarelli is away today, but she'll be back on Monday. And we were talking about antibiotic overuse and just how bad it is from many standpoints, from the risk of sudden cardiac death in the using the common antibiotics like Zithromax what's the other one I mentioned?
Did you mention erythromycin?
Well, the erythromycin family, and the other one that's common in that category was Biaxin or clarithromycin. I mean, these are commonly used antibiotics.
And for what conditions are they commonly used? Where would a doctor normally prescribe that?
Well, you know, like Zithromax. You know, someone complains of a cold. Here, take a Z-Pack.
Okay.
You know, so it can be used for, you know, respiratory tract infections.
And so how's another way naturally to deal with a common
cold? Well, you bring up a good point. Don't get sick in the first place. That's the best thing.
Right.
And how do you do that? Well, make sure your immune system is optimal. How do you do that? Make sure your vitamin D levels where they should be. That's number one. You know, the range is 30 to 100 from the labs. Get up to at least 80, and to accomplish that, to reach that number, I find that usually takes about 10,000 units of vitamin D a day.
Okay,
that's the first thing. If you do get sick, there are some herbs that you can use. You know, like andrographis, pyrographis, things like that. I also recommend, and it's been reported in the mainstream literature, that 150,000 units of vitamin D a day for about 3 or 4 days can be helpful in shortening the course of an infection. Drink plenty of fluid. That's always recommended. Vitamin C, despite what you may have read, can be helpful as well.
But as far as that's concerned, I remember about a year ago when I was here at the office, I was feeling a little run down, like a cold was about to come on with me. And I sat in the chelation theater that we have here, and I got a vitamin C drip, and it knocked it right out. The cold never manifested.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, a lot of things are available that won't get the light of day from mainstream medicine. Because mainstream medicine is run by the drug companies. So you have to fight them from a standpoint of recommending other things than drugs. I just want to remind our listeners, you know, these programs, our sponsor is Advanced Medical Testing Centers. They're running an event, a special event again. We did one a couple of weeks ago, and it was very successful. What they're trying to do is just get people to come to the drawing center, get used to it, because it really is one of the nicest places around to have your blood drawn, because for a lot of reasons. It's clean. There's no waiting. The people that work there really know what they're doing. So in order to entice people to come by and see what it's like, the event coming up on December 5th from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., this way people can come fasting and get specific fasting tests if they choose. But they will get a complete blood count, a CBC, serum chemistries, and a urinalysis free of charge.
Wow, that's quite a value.
Right, and then they have special prices for the event for all the other testing. So, you know, you can give them a call, and I might have a number for them somewhere. I should have the numbers ready when I talk about it. You know, Janet always has the numbers at the tip of her tongue. But I will give out the numbers a little bit later. But you can go to their website, amtcenters.com. And the phone number is there to call to reserve a spot. And what will happen is, I know they're gonna fill up like they did last time. So they're planning to have another one in January. Okay. Another reminder: the radio show, we call it Natural Doc Radio, and we have a website of the same name, naturaldocradio.com. And that's where we archive all the shows. So should we say something that you find really interesting or important information that you want to pass on to anybody, they can go to the website and listen to all the shows. They're archived by date. So if you remember you heard something on Friday that you liked, and you could tell someone, listen to the Friday show. All right, having said that, we're going through today a lot of the topics that came up in the news. And these are, you know, mainstream articles. I'm not even looking at the alternative journals right now. And here the headline is angioplasty. Now, angioplasty and stents, you know, when someone has coronary artery disease and you do a stress test, they see a blockage, they say, well, let's go in and, you know, do an angioplasty and put a stent in there because that's gonna save your life. So the headline is angioplasty may not boost survival for some heart disease patients. So you really have to choose the time and the place to do this procedure because right now, as you would expect, it's being overutilized and therefore not getting the results that you would think. So what this procedure does, it opens up narrowed or blocked arteries. But here's what they found. It doesn't seem to lengthen life for people with stable heart disease and chest pain. So why are we doing the test?
and the test in and of itself has some risks to it. There can be some complications from a test as involved as that, an invasive test. However, what is happening there? Why is an angioplasty prescribed in the first place? There's a narrowing of the blood vessels. And it doesn't just happen in one isolated spot. It happens in all the vessels throughout the whole entire body and the whole system. So how would, I mean, can we talk about chelation therapy and how it would compare to something like that?
Oh, definitely. In fact, this is, you know, when I started doing chelation therapy, it was actually before stents were even available, because this we're going back to around 1990, and they might have been doing angioplasties. I'm not sure exactly when angioplasty started, but of course they were already doing bypass operations.
Absolutely.
And the promise was, I think they were up to, I don't know, 300,000, maybe 600,000 bypass operations a year. And then all of a sudden angioplasties came in. They said, we're going to prevent the need for having bypass. We're going to put these, do these angioplasties and stents in, and patients, you know, won't need bypass. I remember around that time when that report came out, I asked one of the thoracic surgeons that did bypass surgery in the hospital. I said, aren't you worried? They're going to put you out of business with these stents and angioplasties. He said, his answer was, we get them sooner or later. Because they don't work. They don't last. The only time they work is probably when they're used unnecessarily, which is a lot of the time. So here's what this study talks about. After 15 years of follow-up, the study found that people who had angioplasty fared no better than those who had their heart disease treated with medication and lifestyle changes alone. Now, this is something we've been talking about forever by doctors who do chelation therapy. You know, we would say these bypass operations, angioplasties, and everything else don't save lives. You know, medical treatments alone do just as well, if not better, than these invasive procedures. And if you were to look at the actual numbers, and we have those here, it's kind of interesting. Now, when should you use these procedures? We're not saying never use them. And here's how we've used them. I'll tell you a story. This is a true story. I had a patient who actually came to the office. It was a female. And she presented with atypical pain. I think she said it might have been her left shoulder was hurting for her. Now, that could be a sign of a heart problem. So we did an EKG, and it showed, yes, it looked like she was having a heart attack.
Wow.
She didn't have any chest pain. Left shoulder pain is what she had. And I mention this because you have to be aware of some of the other symptoms of a heart attack besides crushing chest pain. That's what everybody's familiar with. Mm-hmm. But you could have other different pains that might be an issue. So if you're ever experiencing a new pain, something you've never had before, you know, don't just brush it off. Sometimes it could be serious. So the patient came in, did the EKG, showed she was having a heart attack, and sent to the hospital right away. And I remember visiting her in the intensive care unit. Of course, I call in a cardiologist to see them because
absolutely
they're in the hospital setting, and that's the protocol. But I'm there to oversee everything, make sure the cardiologist doesn't go out and get out of control. But I remember the issue was giving her medication, you know, to control her symptoms, and she couldn't tolerate the medication because it would drop her blood pressure too much.
Ah, okay.
So in that case, then she was transferred from that hospital to another hospital where they do angioplasties. Now, I didn't know this was happening because I went away that weekend, and the cardiologist was taking care of everything. So, you know, patient was transferred over there. She had the procedure. And then when I got back on Monday, you know, I called up, and I said, well, how's the patient? I said, oh, she died. I said, she died. What happened? She had the procedure. Everything went well. The story I had gotten, I think, from the patient's husband, he was on the phone with her. She's in the hospital bed. He's at home. All of a sudden, the phone drops. You know, so the possibility that she could have had a pulmonary embolism or another heart attack or something.
Was it post-done? Did anything?
I don't know that. But the interesting thing is usually you don't, if you make it to the hospital in time, you usually don't die unless it's a massive heart attack and the heart muscle is destroyed. But otherwise, they can treat arrhythmias, mm-hmm. you know, that medication, mm-hmm. and you're on a monitor, they can treat it. So this had to be some kind of catastrophic event.
Wow.
So, you know, even, and they always publicize these things. Oh, so-and-so famous person goes in for a angioplasty and they're out the next day and as good as new. No, you can't take any of these procedures lightly. Everything has potentials for problem. So the use of this procedure, though, is the best way to recommend it is in those people that can't tolerate medication.
Okay.
So there you have to control the symptoms. And what would the symptom be? Usually it's chest pain. That's the symptom. You know, if someone has angina, the medications aren't controlling it, or they mm-hmm. can't. Mm-hmm. Their blood pressure goes too low when they take the medication. So they do the stent. And but here, you know, when we come back, I'll give you some more statistics about why you need to think twice about this procedure, just like you have to think twice about antibiotics. Right now, it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. With me today is Dr. Michael Ahrens, and we'll be back right after this.
Current medical treatment addresses problems and symptoms when your ship of health has gone aground, hit the shoals of disease, so to speak. Now, advanced medical testing helps to guide you through the stormy seas of disease. The information from high-tech lab tests such as Doctor's Data, Spectracell, Cleveland Heart Lab, Access, Health Diagnostics Laboratory, and Genova. These advanced tests assist you and your doctor to navigate the treacherous waters of disease development. Call 754-216-2332 to find out more. Or visit amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email, with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
Okay, and we're back. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with me today is Dr. Michael Arendt. And we've been talking about things. But before we go any further, you know, I mentioned that December 5th, they're having an event over at AMT Centers from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., and that's where you can call up and reserve a place that day to get a complete blood count, a chemistry panel, and a urinalysis. And I've got the number you can call to. And you know how I found it? The same way you can find it. Go to amtcenters.com, and it's right there. But the number is 754-216-2332, 754-216-2332. Oh, by the way, they are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill, Suite 209. But really, you should go to the website. They put a lot of effort into making a nice website, talking about a lot of the different tests that are available to you from various labs around the country, not just the tests that Questo LabCorp performs. That's what I think a lot of people don't realize. Mm-hmm. They're not the only game in town, Questo right. LabCorp. They do testing, which is fine, but there are a lot of other labs, very innovative, that do a good job. And this is a drawing center I use for my patients. What I like about them and the labs they use that we send the testing to is they have panels where they bundle in all the different tests, so patients won't be billed on an itemized basis. You know, like a CBC. You know, CBC includes a white count, a red blood cell count, a hemoglobin, a platelet count. You're not billed individually for every test. You build as just a complete blood count. That's how they do it. Well, in these other labs bundle a bunch of other tests together, so you're not billed for each individual test. It's billed as a panel or a package.
And this testing center, being independent, can use any lab that has appropriate tests. You don't have to get locked into just a laboratory or the test that they use.
Right, that's the whole point. And unfortunately, you know, mainstream docs, they get set in their ways, and really they're not ordering a lot of tests for patients. You know, they're ordering, you know, CBCs, chem panels, urinalyses, maybe a thyroid panel. Maybe, of course, they can order lipids because, you know, what doctor doesn't want to put his patients on statins? Didn't they talk about putting that in the water?
Uh-huh.
I think they did. So Dr. Mike has a story about his own father he can pass along to us now.
As a matter of fact, yes. This was when my dad was 58 years old, which is younger than I am now, kind of oddly enough.
So why did he need this therapy, or what was wrong with him?
Well, basically, he was getting short of breath. He was having some chest pain. He went to his cardiologist in New York City. My dad was living in Brooklyn at the time. And his doctor used a very intense approach with him. He said, Mel, don't even get back in the car and drive home. You could die in the car going home. You better check into the hospital right across the street, and tomorrow morning we're going to do a triple bypass on you. Well, this doctor didn't realize that my father had three sons who were all physicians, so my dad got on the phone immediately to me and my brothers, and we all came up with the same idea. Hold it a second. Don't check into the hospital. Let's not do something invasive until we find out what alternatives are out there.
When you say physicians, you have to qualify that.
We're chiropractic physicians.
Right, so they have a different different approach to things.
Yes, we have a different viewpoint as to how to deal with things. We will definitely refer and use medical doctors. However, we will try natural alternatives first. If those natural alternatives fail, then we will use medical physicians and medications.
Before you go ahead with the story, I just want to bring up the criticism that's put upon not just chiropractors, maybe, but any alternative care practitioner. They always say, you know, you're using your alternative treatments and you're delaying the patient from receiving the life-saving treatment.
Well, I may have a difference of opinion about that. I believe the life-saving treatment is probably going to be something that's much more natural. Again, if we're dealing with an emergency situation, then you're correct. We go to an emergency room where the technology is the best and the pharmaceuticals are the best. But when we're dealing with degenerative disease issues, then perhaps we should check into alternatives first. With my dad, he was not having a heart attack at this time. He was not in any acute distress. It was just general malaise and just general short of breath and a couple of other things that were.
Do you have any risk factors? You know, was he a smoker?
No.
Not a smoker? What kind of work did he do?
Dad was in the garment industry.
So not exposed to chemicals at all?
Absolutely not. Nope. He He was basically a very healthy guy up until the time he passed away at age 89. But again, this incident occurred when he was 58, in his late 50s. His medical doctor, as I said, wanted to check him into the hospital immediately. And we did some research. I actually found a medical doctor in Manhattan by the name of Dr. Warren Levin, who did chelation therapy. And this was a new concept to me. I'd never known about chelation therapy then. This was a long time ago. I spoke to Dr. Levin for about 45 minutes on the telephone. I felt very comfortable with what he had to say. He explained chelation therapy to me at that point in time, which was very advanced. That was years ago. And many people hadn't even heard of it then. We sent my dad to see Dr. Levin the next day. Dr. Levin then proceeded to chelate him and put him through a series of chelation, which was at that time 30 visits of about 3 hours each with an IV drip. And my father did fantastically well. All of his symptoms abated. He was restored to health. His color came back, you know, whatever else was going on for him. And he lived to the ripe old age of 89 as a healthy, you know, guy. He was really never sick, never hospitalized before the very end. And chelation therapy is something that impressed my mother so much, watching my father go through this, that she actually wound up working for Dr. Levin for several years and worked in his office.
And this is not an isolated case. This is what we see when patients come for chelation therapy. but sometimes they go for a bypass or angioplasty before they come for chelation therapy. Why do they come for chelation therapy after the angioplasty or bypass? Because the symptoms have recurred.
Maybe it didn't do the job it was supposed to do.
So, well, maybe they bypassed the wrong artery. Who knows? So, remember I said, so when they started doing angioplasty, maybe they were doing 300,000 or 600,000 bypasses a year, and the cardiologist says, well, I'm not worried. We'll get them eventually anyway. Well, here are some of the numbers. About 1 million angioplasties are done each year in the United States, and half of them, 500,000 are done in patients with stable heart disease. See, that's not the group that benefits by it. That's the problem. Stable heart disease refers to chest pain that occurs in a predictable pattern. In other words, when you're going to do exercise, you know it's going to give you a little pain. You know, that's the stable angina. And it's either relieved by rest or you take some medication like a nitroglycerin. However, unstable heart disease, that's unpredictable. Or, you know, surprising chest pain. You know, you're just relaxing, doing nothing. All of a sudden, you get chest pain. And it usually occurs when you're at rest. So unstable chest pain are the ones that lead to heart attacks. Now, this is an important concept. You have plaque in your arteries. This is what, you know, statins are supposed to address, and angioplasties and bypasses. There are two types of plaque. You have stable plaque and unstable plaque. Stable plaque is the, or mature plaque, or the big plaques, that blocks blood vessels. But they're not prone to rupture and causing heart attacks. It's the unstable plaque that can rupture and cause heart attacks. And that's never addressed by bypass or angioplasty because these are what they call vulnerable plaque or unstable or immature plaque. They're flat.
Are there any dangers when you go through a chelation process? Is there any danger of affecting that?
Well, what you do is actually the chelation stabilizes plaque.
Okay.
So, but the plaque is not blocking blood flow. It's like imagine an area on the inside of the blood vessel that's irritated and could rupture. So if it were to rupture, you'd have an acute blockage, and that's what causes the heart attack. So those are the patients that are at risk, but those are the patients that aren't don't meet criteria for bypass or angioplasty because those lesions aren't blocking blood flow on a chronic basis. So the study that we're talking about, and the study basically is looking at people that are getting angioplasty versus people getting medical treatment. And they looked at over 1,200 patients who took part in the study. And don't you love the way they come up with things? This was called the COURAGE trial.
Oh.
And that's an acronym. Well, you know, I don't know who sits around thinking about these things, just like who sits around thinking about the names of drugs that they come out with. Clinical Outcomes utilizing revascularization, which is the angioplasty, and aggressive drug evaluation. You know, isn't that nice? So in that trial, people were randomly assigned to either having an angioplasty plus medication or receive medical therapy alone to manage their heart disease and relieve their chest pain. And they followed these people for 15 years. In that time, out of the 1,200, 561 patients died. Of those died, 180 died during the initial four-year follow-up. We're running out of time. And 381 died during the remaining follow-up. And you know what? I'm going to have to leave you here with a cliffhanger. On Monday morning, when we come back on, I'm going to give you the results of this trial. But I'd like to thank all our listeners, as well as our guest today, Dr. Michael Arendt.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Have a nice weekend. See you on Monday. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.